Hello, Steve. Hello, Jill. It's time to game classy.
Yeah, he was like 6'8", and he's like the tallest guy I know, so... That dude's ridiculously tall.
6'8", the height of FBI Director James Comey.
Yes. I know. That's why, like, when I saw that, I was like, wow, he's huge.
Yeah, it's really funny looking at him in the picture with, like, all the other government guys where they're, like, tiny, and he looks like a giant.
Yeah. Well, he's an interesting guy. We'll find out more in the future, hopefully.
Whatever, I don't give a shit.
Yeah, I know you don't. You're like, man, all just rich people trying to hold us poor people down. Right?
Sure. I mean, I wouldn't say trying. I would say succeeding.
Okay. Yeah, I'll give you that.
Or have already succeeded.
Yeah. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Game Classy. I am your host, Joe. And with me, as always, is the lore to my data, Steve.
Eviscerate the proletariat.
Late-stage capitalism. good times. Good times. You know, a bunch of, you know, 30-something white guys talking about socialism. Here at the on the podcast.
We've done it.
We've done it, guys. We've done it. All right. So
remember, only pay attention to Venezuela. Don't pay attention to the 12 other countries that are socialist and fine. Only Venezuela.
Well, yeah, duh.
Yeah.
So anyway, gaming news. Getting away from the
Age of Sigmar skirmish.
Age of Sigmar skirmish.
Fuck yeah, dude.
I don't understand how it's different than Age of Sigmar.
It's gonna have well, obviously we haven't seen the rules yet.
It's going to be campaign, probably.
Right. From the description, it's going to be campaign, and it's going to be more like Mordheim. So your individual figures will
God damn it,
shit.
Just call it Mordheim.
Well, I mean, it's not Mordheim, because Mordheim's gone.
Yeah,
that's the old world.
I know. I'm aware.
Are you sure? Because you were talking like you didn't know that it was gone.
I know.
Because you were like, call it Mordheim. And then I was like, you can't call Mordheim. Mordheim's gone. And then you were like, I know Mordheim's gone.
But Mordheim never existed. It's a made-up place.
No, it was real.
We could do whatever.
It was real. We went there.
We could do whatever we want with it.
We went there.
Oh, it's like the Renaissance Fair, right? Mordheim Renaissance Fair. It's up in Bristol. We'll go there. You know, you get a turkey leg, and then you get assaulted by chaos cultists.
This checks out.
That would be amazing. It's like, you're like, you go
well,
there.
There's like that big ass group in Russia that does like the Warhammer LARP.
Yeah.
Like they're huge.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
You know, it's Russia though. So it's like, they don't have much else to do.
Well, they do produce the most golden demon factories, I believe.
Yeah. Dun, da, da, dun, da, da, da.
Do they do the Cossack dance while they're painting?
Oh yeah. All it's right. Like they sit on the chair and their legs just, they don't even sit. They just, they're crouched down that low and their legs are kicking while they're painting.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Dun, da, da, dun, da, da, dun. I always like, and sometimes I'm, you know, I'm glad we live in America. We don't live in a crazy world like Russia, but sometimes I look at like, you know, like what's going on in Russia today. And I'm just like, my God, it'd be amazing to experience this firsthand. The sheer lunacy of that
amazing
place.
Amazing is an interesting choice of word.
Yeah. I mean, like you see some of the stuff that's going on there and you're like, my God, this is insane.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like, I'm sure I could experience it if I went to like Appalachia. But,
that's true.
But it wouldn't be as cold or Slavic.
Also true.
Yes.
Well, probably not.
Yeah. I mean, to experience like the sheer insanity of Russia would be something to
just go on 4chan.
No. They're all like 12-year-old Nazis. I can't do that
just
anymore.
Just hang out on B. It's like Russia.
Yeah. I can't do that.
Dude, they love Russia on 4chan.
I know, because they're all 12-year-old Nazis. What did Nazis want to do? They wanted to invade Russia. That's exactly what 4chan wants to do.
Hey man, those Nazis lost to a bunch of snowflakes.
It's true. Bunch of snowflakes.
Bunch of snowflakes beat the Nazis.
And the French.
That's true.
Yeah. Yeah, the crazy
la résistance.
The crazy Nazi didn't win in France.
I assume it's because they just let their baguettes stay out in the sun, and once those things are stale, they are lethal.
Oh, my baguette!
You just throw them, and they're just like impaling people through the skull like nothing.
My baguette is crusty.
Baguette jousting.
He's not a good crusty, but he's a bad crusty baguette.
That was like a weird not I French accent.
I get,
that was like
my French accent.
That was like a generic accent. It didn't sound like anything.
it was a lazy accent.
That guy was like, it'd be like, what was that guy's accent? I don't know. It was foreign.
It was a foreign accent.
They were speaking some other language. I think it was Asian.
I actually think that's my Creole like Louisiana French accent. So that if that makes a little more sense, I guarantee.
I see.
Yeah.
Mama, you're light out.
are you doing Princess and the Frog?
Maybe.
That movie.
I like that movie. It was good.
Ugh.
I like Dr. Facilier.
Oh, okay, so you like one character out of a story that is awful.
But yeah, but I like Dr. Facilier. Yeah.
My favorite part of that entire narrative of Princess and the Frog is that they were touting it's like this huge thing. It's the first African American princess for Disney. First African American princess for Disney, and she's a frog for 45% and for 75% of that movie. It's like,
Pocahontas got turned into a raccoon. So
what?
What was that?
What did that happen?
Yeah, and then there was the whole part with the bear. I don't know. And then there was the tree lady.
I think I like it if you just continued this just like it was like real. Like you truly believe that Pocahontas got turned into a raccoon.
Yeah, that happened.
Yeah. Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah. And there was the tree lady.
Yeah.
The booby tree lady.
Yeah. She had huge woody jugs.
I think you're thinking of the last unicorn, Steve.
Maybe.
Yeah.
And then Woody was like, we've got to get out of here, Buzz.
You are a toy.
You are a child's plaything. See?
Yes.
I know my Disney films.
You know your Disney films. I'm not going to argue that. All right. Warhammer Skirmish. So they're... is it actually going to be a rule book?
Yep. Yeah, they're releasing a rule book. I think it's $20 or $25.
It's probably going to be $20 like the General's Compendium.
They're releasing a new battle mat.
I saw that. That's
fucking nice.
It's interesting that they're
really nice.
That GW's going to a battle mat.
Well, they already had the corn one.
Did they have a corn one?
Yeah.
I didn't see that one.
They had the corn one.
It must have happened like during my brief time when I was just like pretty much ignoring all
the
Games Workshop.
Yeah, they have the corn one. Well, they think they're 4x4s, which is nice.
Oh, that's interesting.
Because they're made for Sigmar. Mm-hmm. This one is more of like a kind of... like the corn one is very red and it's very like...
Corny.
Corny.
Well, yeah. This one's supposed to be working for the mausoleum,
yes,
right?
Yeah. Which they released as a... I think it's a triple kit. I think it holds triple what the old...
I think it's double. I think I saw a double kit.
Well, it's still awesome.
Yeah.
That mausoleum kit's fantastic. I love it. And as you can look on the Rob Hawkins hobby blog, you can see what he has done with it.
Well, you could see what you could do if you have skills.
Well, I mean, like I said, he's too overpowered. He needs to be nerfed. No longer allowed to make tables.
No.
Or he has to make tables with just one hand, and his hand needs to be duct taped into the shape of a claw. No. And then we'll see what he does.
He has to be told that 8th edition fantasy doesn't exist anymore. That's what he has to be done. He has to be sat down and like deprogrammed that 8th edition does not exist anymore.
He still believes.
He still believes.
He's carrying the flame.
I've been I've been able to start painting again for like first time in ever. So for 4 weeks I was pretty much nonstop painting. I'm in a chest brace right now. I know people can't see it. It's my suit of armor.
You look like a stormtrooper.
Dengar. But it is amazing for painting because it does not let me arch my back. So I can.
So you're going to keep it?
I actually am. It's mine. I mean, they don't take it back.
Well, I mean, like, I meant as in, are you going to use it when you paint?
Yeah, I am. Because, with a broken back, I was sitting down at my desk painting, and I figured I was going to be able to paint for maybe like a half hour, 45 minutes before my back started to hurt. Because that's what it normally happens, but I can work through it because my back is fine. But now that it's broke, I can't really do that. But I was sitting there and I was painting. And then I just kept painting, and I kept painting. I painted for 4 hours straight and didn't feel a single thing in my back.
Nice.
This thing is amazing. Like, I think I'm thinking about like patenting this for painting.
Can you patent something that's already out?
Just do slight modifications, and then you know, like how they really do it.
Put a Aquilas on it.
Yeah. Put like a. put the Aquila on it.
Yep.
And then, or maybe the corn symbol.
And we just. Put symbols on it and color code it.
Yeah.
So like you can do the Omega
one,
for Ultramarines.
Yeah.
Yep.
I think that's what I would do because I don't think you can.
They do not have a copyright on an upside down Omega symbol.
Yes. Ultra. Or the color blue. I think. You know.
They also do not have that.
Yeah. I'll patent. I'll
you just
sell
can't
this.
Call it Ceramite or whatever.
Like, and then I'll get like some of the big painters.
Actually, you could probably call it Ceramite. What you do is you
put an S.
You just spell it like the name Sarah.
Oh, okay.
Like a girl's name, Sarah.
Sarah.
But when you talk about the product, you get to say Ceramite.
Yeah.
So you'd be like, hey, you can't use Ceramite. And you'd be like, oh, no, look. And then you point to your website where it's spelled Sarah. So yeah. They can't do anything about that.
Like
nice legal loopholes.
Sarahmight.
There you go.
Yeah.
Ceramite.
Yeah. Done. Homophones.
Done.
This is amazing because and also you'll appreciate this. I've decided I'm taking a break from painting bolt action for a while. And
well, you got tired of painting brown?
I paint brown and green, man. That's all I'd been painting. I realized that. And so like I started painting some workshop stuff because I was like, I'm going to go back. I'm going to go back to my forever army. I'm going to go back to Empire.
Paint some Empire.
And so I went and I've just been painting nonstop. I painted, I think, 75 figures in the last 4 weeks.
Nice.
I've just been on top of. Well, I used the opportunity to watch Twin Peaks because I haven't watched Twin Peaks in like probably 15 years.
Yeah, it's old.
So, and it's coming back tonight. So yeah. I was like, I'm gonna watch some Twin Peaks. I'm gonna get ready.
Donuts, coffee, pie.
You a Twin Peaks fan?
I do like Twin Peaks.
Yeah,
I do like Twin Peaks. I think it's the right amount of weird.
I'm
surprised by like the Twin Peaks hysteria that gripped the nation around the time when it was new.
But but that was the thing. It was like nothing was like that on
TV.
It's
true.
Nothing.
I think it was very influential, and I think a lot of things happened because of Twin Peaks.
Twin Peaks.
I would argue that the X-Files probably exists because of Twin Peaks.
You're absolutely right. I mean, yeah. David Duchovny was on Twin Peaks. D-Agent Denise.
Fucking fantastic. He's so good in that show. I love when it gets super weird. Like the one lady like regresses to be a high schooler, but she has super strength.
That was like... Okay, so the first season...
It's pure David Lynch.
Yeah, the first season and the first half of the second season when they're dealing with Laura Palmer stuff is fucking phenomenal.
Oh, it's a legit show.
It's great. But then after they solve the Sarah Palmer thing... It just gets weird and like it's like dumb weird.
Do you know the story behind that?
Well, the studio made him do it, right?
Right. They pushed him to finish the Laura Palmer storyline faster.
Yeah.
They were like, you got to get it out there. So he's like, but that, and they're just like, no, do it. So he just rushed to the ending of that story and then had nothing left. So he just went pure David Lynch on the rest. And he's just like, weird shit.
David going down. Lynch.
Yeah.
Hello there, Steve. I'm David Lynch.
I can't hear you. You'll need to speak up.
God. That's every time I hear David Lynch, like I think of David Lynch, I think of him screaming like that. And I don't. But the thing is he kind of talks like that normally, too. It's just him in the TV show is being a little bit louder.
David Lynch is a cool dude.
How about we do a Twin Peaks RPG? You think we could do that?
I mean, it's probably already a thing.
I mean, well, how about this? We it's like a normal story. Like we do the normal story with it, but there's a special David Lynch book for the GM that just has like at certain points of the story,
a completely different rule set.
Yes.
He just starts making the players do things that don't make sense.
Well,
like it's a D20 game, and he's like, "All right, roll 3d4."
Yeah, like that's what he does, and then all of a sudden it's like, "All right, so a." Man who is 2'3" walks into the room with you right now, and he is holding a bag of leaves.
The leaves are on fire.
What do you do?
I don't know. I talk to the man. He starts dripping wet. what do you mean wet? Like water? He starts dripping wet.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's just like... Some bizarre, like where your players leave the night and like we played for 4 hours and nothing happened. Oh, so like a normal RPG.
Yeah. In heaven, everything is fine.
Yeah. No, the new season starts and I'm kind of excited to see like what they do because I hated that second half of the second season except everything except the Black Lodge stuff I thought was cool.
Very cool.
It was a little too X-Filesy for me. With all like the aliens talk and everything like that, but that final episode,
hey, Twin Peaks did it first.
I know when that final episode when they go to the when he's in that and he's in the Black Lodge, that is just genius.
Yep, super good.
I mean
it's David Lynch. You either like David Lynch or you don't, and he's sometimes a really weird acquired taste. And I think David Lynch for me, I like most of David Lynch's stuff.
The Straight Story. Do you like the Straight Story?
I don't know what that is. The guy rides the tractor
to go find his brother.
No, I don't know what that is. I've never seen it.
It's
I really like Eraserhead. I don't like Highway, Lost Highway.
You don't like Lost Highway? I love Lost Highway.
Lost Highway has a fantastic soundtrack and some good scenes, but overall, I'm not a fan. I've heard Mulholland Drive is really good. I haven't seen it.
Mulholland Drive is about as close to Twin Peaks as you're going to get with David Lynch. Lost Highway is really messed up.
Yeah, it's weird.
Mulholland Drive is got a better story to it, but it still has those weird David Lynch moments.
That was my problem with Lost Highway, like, because even though, like, Eraserhead, like, is totally bizarre.
You don't like the diner scene?
Eraserhead is still in what?
In Lost Highway?
Oh, no, there's plenty of great scenes in Lost Highway.
That scene in the diner, like, you could talk to, I would say 90% of the people who see Lost Highway, they will tell you that's the most terrifying scene ever put to cinema.
It's a fantastic scene.
And it's not even that scary.
It's just creepy.
It is, but that's the thing that's so weird about it. It's like
David Lynch does unsettling creepy very well.
Yeah, but that's the thing is, like, that it boggles my mind because I can't, no one can explain it to me why it's so scary.
It's just sinister.
I know, but no one can explain.
It just is.
Exactly, and that's what I find so brilliant
about it. It's probably got like the low decibel audio.
Yeah,
I'm sure that's going. The camera doesn't move a lot. It does the directorial tricks that make you unsettled, and then. And, like, it just keeps going.
Yeah, and then the kicker happens, and you're like, ah!
Yeah.
And then you go back and you watch it, and you're like, it's not really that scary.
Yeah. If you watch it by itself, it's not, but in the moment,
it's amazing. Okay.
David Lynch is a really good director. He's very good at what he wants to do, and what he wants to do is be
fucking weird. Thank you, Steve. I appreciate that.
You'll need to speak up.
It's me.
Yeah, that's good stuff.
I'm glad he's going to be back in the show,
too. Oh, yeah, it's awesome. Everyone's back.
No, there's a bunch of people. Laura Flynn Boyle's not coming back.
Everyone's back who isn't dead, as far as I know.
No, so the girl who plays Dawn is not coming back. That's Laura Flynn Boyle.
Okay.
Apparently, she was awful to work with and was, like, not even really asked to come back or all something right. like that. Who else is not coming back? Heather Graham, who played Cooper's girlfriend in the second part of the season, not coming back. All the stuff with these lumber mills, so Joan Chen, well, she died in the show, but, I mean, that didn't stop anyone else. Ray Wise and Laura Palmer are coming back.
Ray Wise is still kicking, isn't he?
Yeah. He just did a guest stint on a ton of shows.
Okay, good. He was the devil in Reaper.
Yeah.
Which was an underrated show.
Yeah. I mean, if that show had come out on, like, WB, like, 3 or 4 years later, it might have had some...
Yeah, I agree. I think it would have kept going.
It was a little bit too soon.
There's a bunch of shows that I think fall into that, like, they just missed out on their time. Like, they were too early.
Oh, yeah. Like Firefly.
Yeah, too early.
Yeah, well, Firefly was also... it was too early, and B, it was...
It was also on Fox.
It was on Fox, yeah.
Like that,
and it was an expensive show.
That Seth MacFarlane show is going to just come out and die.
Oh, that sci-fi one?
Yeah. It looks funny.
Yeah. Do you ever watch Always Sunny in Philadelphia? It's one of my favorite shows.
I've seen clips, but I don't really watch it. I really like Nightman and Dayman. Yes. That cracks me up.
Yeah. They did a sci-fi pilot. I've seen clips of it that are not clips. I read the script for it. It was hysterical. They were talking about they have a spaceship powered by a baby's dick. And that's what they're arguing about. It's like, how can you have a spaceship powered by a baby's dick? Wonderful.
That's humorous.
But yeah.
Hey, I turned to the side.
I'm excited about Twin Peaks. And it's like long. It's like 18 episodes.
It's good.
So I'm like, that's like almost as long as the entire run of the first of the show.
Yeah, yeah. I think it was only like 20 some episodes.
There's 30. I just rewatched them. I marathoned it.
That's still very small. Also, the theme song is fantastic.
Boom, boom.
I fucking love the Twin Peaks theme song. I think that guy's back doing... I think he's doing a new one for Showtime.
Yeah, probably. Angelo Badalamenti. Yeah.
Italians. Always good with the synth. They're good with horns, and they're good with synth.
And they're good at them making a love.
And the pasta.
Hey, mamma mia.
But if you look, because all the classic spaghetti westerns have those great Italian horn scores, and then the Italian zombie movies have the great synth scores. like zombie.
Yeah, well, it was all Morricone in the westerns,
well, yeah.
Or people who aped Morricone.
I mean, of course, and of course, Ecstasy of Gold, might be the single greatest musical composition for a film ever. I mean, it's up there.
It's yeah.
Like I said, might.
Yeah. I won't argue with you that it's not amazing.
It's in contention. Like it came on my playlist the other day, and I was like, "Fuck, this is so good."
No, I think if I had to pick,
like it's not. The big weakness it has is I wouldn't say that it's iconic. Like when I think a lot of people might hear that song, they might be like, "I've heard this song before." They might remember that it's Ecstasy of Gold. They might not even remember the film that it's in. The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. Now, Star Wars, the theme, obviously far more iconic. I think it's an inferior song, but...
It's way more iconic, right. Yeah.
Like, you hear dun-dun-dun-dun, and you're like, you know that's Star Wars.
Yeah. I think I'm going to have to go with Klendathu Drop.
That's legit. Starship Troopers is fucking legit. So, that also has an amazing soundtrack.
Yeah. Where were we talking with gaming stuff?
We were talking about Age of Sigmar Skirmish. We talked about it for like 2 seconds.
2 seconds and going back. Yeah, so they're releasing the graveyard and the mat, and they got a bunch of like boxes.
Skirmish boxes, which are sweet.
They're like $60, I think.
Yeah, and they're very, very cool. Like, they're actually set up as like a little skirmish faction. So like the orc one comes with a couple Ardboys and then some black orcs.
A shaman.
And the weird boy, yeah. Right. They actually are configured in a way that you're not like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
So it's pretty sweet.
Yeah, and like I saw the orc one, I think there was like 13 to 15 models in it. The Sigmarites one was like, I think, 6 models, though.
Nine
models, yeah.
The biggest one is the Graveguard, or the Crypt Ghouls, which is like 22, because you get a bunch of ghouls.
It's got some ghouls.
It's got some ghouls. It's got some ghouls. And they got the big ghouls. That's a good, they're a good army, too, from what I hear.
I'm going to paint them up as Italians and call them Gobble Ghouls.
Well, you got to give them mustaches, though.
Got to give them the mustaches, my Gobble Ghouls.
And you have to make the big guys have smocks, or maybe topes.
Just to have them all shirtless.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I mean, they already are shirtless.
Yeah, it's true.
Gold chains. Got to get little gold chains for them.
Bibbidi bobbidi.
Maybe a little. Maybe sculpt some little axe cans.
Oh,
them,
yeah.
Holding axe.
It's Guidos.
Yes.
Get some Guidos up there.
Guidos.
That's terrible. This is another terrible idea, Steve.
You liked it.
A little bit. I just like the idea of making fun of Italians.
Guidos.
They are a silly people. But yeah, so I'm interested. I'll pick up the rule book, of course, because why not?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I picked up the rule book for the what is it called? The tree guys, the Sylvaneth.
I have that book as well.
Yes. Interesting. I don't know how people would play trees. I don't understand.
I think they're cool. I think the like half tree, half elf models are really neat. The like ghost dudes.
Yeah, those are neat. I'll give you those. But I mean,
I like the ogre sized trees.
Ogre.
The only ones I actually really don't like are just the infantry trees, and not necessarily because I don't like the models, because I think they're for what they are, they're totally fine. They're dryad. They look like tree people. I'm not totally sold on the concept of infantry sized trees.
Yeah.
Because whenever I think of like a tree man, I always think of, you know, Ents. They're supposed to be big. So like the ogre sized ones being smaller trees, it's like, okay, they're like the saplings, and then the giant tree man is what I think of. So it's just kind of a little off putting to me to have like infantry sized.
That tree man model is one of the worst models I've ever seen. I've ever had to put together.
Oh, I was saying, I think the model looks pretty good.
No, it looks fine. It's just an awful model to put together.
Yeah, well, it's got a lot of options, doesn't it?
It's just a pain in the ass to put together.
I also really like the Beetle Rider.
That model.
And
it's like $200, Steve.
That's like $130.
It's still.
I mean, it's expensive, but you only ever need one. That's always that one of the things that I like about Age of Sigmar a lot is for almost all of the big models like that. Almost all, not all of them. For some, it's like, oh, the orc one. Almost all of the big models like that are the $130, but you need one ever. Period. It's not like in 40K where you're like, oh yeah, you need 3 Riptides.
I just hate that big poop beetle. I just want a big piece of poop.
I love the beetle. He's great.
Stupid.
He's cool looking.
Stupid.
It looks like a beetle. I don't know. Like, it looks like a giant beetle.
I know, but like, why is there a giant beetle in a tree man army? It doesn't make any sense.
Because it's her mount. Also, it's not technically just a tree man army. It's got there's wood elvy spirits. As I said, you're just mad that there's no Way Watchers.
Maybe I am. They still haven't released their A elves box set. or a book yet, which I'm that's the one I'm interested in.
Yeah, I think that's coming soon. I don't know if it's next, but it's coming soon.
Yeah, because I have an Age of Sigmar elf army. I want to play with it, but I want to make sure that, because you got to do it with the book that they put out.
Sure.
Because, you know, it's not going to be competitive or anything with the current rules.
Yeah, I mean, competitive Age of Sigmar is not really what you want to be doing anyway.
Yeah.
Like, if you want to play competitive, you have to play either the Savage Orc shooting army or the Tzeentch Demon shooting army. Like,
yeah,
that's really it. And it's like, you just roll a shit ton of dice and it's boring as fuck. Like, you'll win, but like, eh. Like, do you really need to win Warhammer that bad?
Yeah, some people do.
I don't understand why, because it's like the only thing on the line is like you're winning, because there's no cash prizes in Warhammer. And
no,
like the product prizes, while it's sweet to have a prize, it's not like, you know, a fucking big deal.
I was at the GW store talking to Tim, and I was like, Tim, where's the Chaos Dwarfs for Age of Sigmar? When am I going to get Chaos Dwarfs for Age of Sigmar? And, you know, we're laughing about it because they're not going to make Chaos Dwarfs for Age of Sigmar.
There already are Chaos Dwarfs for Age of Sigmar. You can purchase them on Forge World.
but they don't have rules for them, though.
Yeah, they do.
No, it's not anymore. That's all gone.
They're in the General's Compendium.
Yeah, no. It's just, trust me on this. And this guy at the store goes, oh, you want to know about Chaos Dwarves? And I was just like, oh God, this guy doesn't understand that I'm making fun of Chaos Dwarves. This guy's taking me seriously. And then he goes into this big, long explanation, and I'm sitting there and my eyes are literally rolling in the back of my head. I'm not even like kidding around. Like, I'm just like, go away, you freaky weirdo. I don't need you talking to me. And he's one of those guys that, like, every time I go to visit Games Workshop with Tim, he's there every time. He's one of those kids,
right?
Like, you have nowhere else to go.
I was actually at a game store not too long ago, and some dude walked up and just started talking to me. Like, I'm sitting at a table playing a game, and he just starts talking, and I'm looking at him. He's just like, I came here to play Magic today, but it looks like everyone's playing Warhammer. I'm going to go to ASEN over the weekend, but man, I really wish people were playing Magic today. I brought my deck. Do you play Magic? And I'm like, why are you talking to me?
ASEN.
Fuck. And I was like, yeah. I was like, you know, they play Magic on Friday. It's called Friday Night Magic.
Yeah.
Fucking the worst.
My daughter saw the ASEN commercials that they've been putting on TV.
They have ASEN commercials?
Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah. And she sees that there's a big Pikachu, and she's, you know, I've told you, she's all into, you know, Pokemon right now.
Mm-hmm.
And she's just like, I want to go, and can we go to that? And my wife is like, I don't know. Do you ever go to this at this anime convention? I'm like, Diana, we've been married for going on 10 years now. When have you ever known me to go to an anime convention? No, we're not going to ASEN.
I don't go to any conventions. The farthest I'll go right now at this point is Adepticon.
It's true. Very, very true. I like going to conventions.
I didn't consider Adepticon a convention for a very long time. But after going last time, I will concede it is now an actual convention.
Yeah, it's real fun. It's cool.
Well, no, I mean, because before it was always just like, it was tournaments, and then there were like two sad guys selling stuff in a corner.
Yeah.
Now there's like manufacturers there, demo games, like they have like an actual thing.
Yeah. It's like, it's something you put aside time to go to.
Right. Well, you can go, like before, if you didn't have tournaments to play in, Adepticon was not worth going to. Now you could actually, like, that's what I did. I didn't play in anything, but I went there and I had a great time. But at Adepticon, which is not normally something you can do at a thing that's just a collection of tournaments.
Yeah. Well, it's easy for you because it A is real close to your place, and B, it's, you could go there and not spend a dime, but you could still play demo games of almost every game that's there.
Is it now? Is it because before, like in my memory, like Adepticon was always just,
and
like,
that was,
you
but
go
then
to
for
play
you
tournaments.
That was like 5 years ago.
It was a long time ago.
Yeah.
To be fair.
Yeah. What else I want to say? Oh, speaking of conventions, remember the issues with Crystal Brush with the chibis? They now have a chibi only painting tournament at Gen Con.
That's awesome.
Painting competition. I shouldn't say tournament because there's not it's not like you're actually like painting against another person.
That would be pretty cool.
Do a painting tournament.
A painting tournament where you just have where you actually have brackets. That would be badass.
Where you have like you have two people matched up against each other. They have like an hour.
You make it double elimination.
Yeah.
Double elimination bracket based painting tournament.
I don't know how I would set that up. But would they be painting in house, or would they have like specific figures?
I don't know. I bet you could actually. I bet you could do that. What I would do for that is, like, say Gen Con.
Yeah.
Tournament starts on Thursday.
Okay.
If you want to do the, they have to paint it there.
Yeah.
Tournament starts on Thursday, so you everyone can pick up their model at some time. Like, you get in the line, you pick up your model. On Saturday, brackets begin.
Okay.
So your model needs to be painted.
Okay.
And done by then. And then you go through your brackets.
What I would think, okay, so this is
maybe
what
Sunday. Maybe give them the whole convention to paint it, and then start it Sunday morning, do the brackets.
Yeah, I would say, like, the final, though, the last, like, the ultimate one would have to be, like, a one-hour paint-off. Like, you have two guys sitting, like, across from each other.
And they just...
And painting a figure.
Nice.
Like, that's the way I would do it. So, like, okay, this is how I'd do it.
Okay.
It would be three rounds, essentially. So, I don't know if I'd do brackets, so I'd do rounds. I would have... The first round would be... you have to bring a model. Like, a specific model that I would have out.
So Slambo.
So, like, Slambo. You'd have Slambo. Everyone paints up Slambo. Everyone brings in Slambo. That would be, and that would be a 50% cut right there.
Okay.
So after that, you get, I'll say 50% cut gone. So, or however many, whatever. And then they don't participate even the second round. They're done. Cause that was the bring your own model. Second round is a model that is provided for you by the tournament judge.
The TO. Yeah. Okay.
So, you know, that's another model. You have to paint that in-house. You could take as long as you want to paint it before the actual judging. So, like, let's say I give you 24 hours to paint it. You could paint it on-site. You could take it back to your hotel room and paint it. You could do whatever you want. You could take it home and paint it. But that has to be turned in by the final time.
Mm.
So you get, let's say, 24 hours to do it. 24 hours it comes in. Then it gets judged down from there.
And then you just cut to a top eight for, like, the bracket?
And then you cut to a top eight. And from the top eight... There's the last round. You got everyone head off painting each other 1 hour to paint a specific figure, and then the winner of that one is the champion. We don't 1, 2, 3.
That would be interesting. Yeah. I don't think anyone's ever done like a painting tournament before.
No, I don't think so either.
Because there would be very like, I think that would actually produce like strategies at some point, because you would be like if you're a pro painter, I assume. Like, I'm not a pro painter. You're not a pro painter. I don't know any pro painters.
I'm museum quality.
Top museum quality. But I would imagine the pro painters know who their competition is.
Yeah.
So, like, if you're a Golden Demon aspiring guy or a Crystal Brush guy or whatever, like, you know who your competitors are. So you could probably, like, apply that knowledge to, like, that to a tournament. Like, be like, this guy, like, say you sometimes throw non-metallic metals out there and then, like, you know, like, that's, like, something you use sometimes, and then you know you're going up against someone who's, like, that's their specialty, you'd be like, I'm not going to do that. Like, I would never, like, I don't want to go up against someone's specialty with something that I do as, like, a side thing, so I need to adjust, and I'm going to be like, I'm going to use my blending, this, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to use my fucking crazy-ass fuchsia blending technique.
Crazy-ass fuchsia blending technique? Oh, no! No, it would be, I think it would be interesting, because you're actually getting reverse quality in the tournament. Because the first model that will come in will be amazing.
Will be the best.
The second one will be pretty good. And then the third one, you know, you'll have to be, it's, you know, based off, you know, your skill in speed painting, essentially. So I think that's a very interesting way to do it. Or, speaking of, you could do it, you know, a point system where you get like a certain number of points, and then the winner overall is based on total points, as opposed to this is just the best figure for this round.
Okay.
So the first one, you know, that's the cutoff one. That's you get 0 points for that one. But the second round, you get a certain amount of points based on blah 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 blah, and then you get a certain amount of points based on however on the last one. And you can even have it as fan voting too, like. Certain amount, like, from the judges. The judges are weighted heavier, and then the fan judging is based off a certain amount of points as well. So, and you don't get a lot of that, like, oh, well, this is an Eldar, so I like the Eldar.
That I did. There was a story of someone losing a painting competition to a vastly inferior army in an Armies and Parade.
Yeah, because we've talked about it before numerous times.
I'm sure we have. It's like, I don't like I don't like 40K, so I'm going to vote for the fantasy army. That is what happened.
It was the opposite. It was Jim Wappel. It was his Tomb Kings got beat out by an inferior Dark Eldar army.
That's awesome.
Because it was the Dark Eldar. Everyone's like, no, at another Dark Eldar.
At another store. That would that you swap the story.
Oh yeah, but that was at Golden Demon. That was actually at Games Day, one of the last Chicago Games Days, the last of the Chicago Games Days.
Yes,
but the I think that would be an interesting way of doing a painting competition. I might look into this and see about maybe for Adepticon, because also on top of that, you're not taking up a ton of people's times with tournament.
Right.
So I mean, yeah, if you want to do you're doing the on-site paint and the 24-hour painting thing, yes, that's going to take up a bunch of time. But then, you know, the one-hour paint-off on top of that.
I like it. Yeah. I think you should do it. Make
sudden,
it happen.
sudden
death.
Sudden death, 15-minute paint a figure. It's red.
That's a little much. It would be cool, though. And, like, you'd have to, like, because you'd need to refine techniques. That it would be cool because it might push people who paint outside of their wheelhouse. Like, you know, like, you... Most of those Golden Demon guys, I imagine, like, they work on one model for, like, the year.
Exactly.
So, like, having to, like, back that great skill up with, like, some speed painting techniques and stuff would be pretty cool.
Yeah. Because I think that's one of the things that Adepticon is missing is, like, that painting. Because a lot of people come for the crystal brush. I mean...
Oh, yeah.
I mean, there are guys who come from Europe because it's, like...
I mean, it's $10,000. It's yeah. Fucking money.
Yeah. Considering the fact that it costs, like, I don't know, $1,000 to come over, you know... You're already at a net loss.
Well, I mean, also, if you place, you get...
Yeah,
you know, true. There's the intangible value of, like, came in second place at Crystal Brush. You want to commission me for paint jobs? Like, man. You know, it's like if you win a Golden Demon, you can add, you know, 20% to all your commission prices. Because you could be, like, a Golden Demon winner.
It costs you $1.20 to have me paint your figures now.
Hell yeah.
I'm a Golden Demon winner. No, that's... I think that'd be interesting on that end. The speaking of you're talking something earlier. I wanted to mention I went to the Field Museum yesterday with my daughter. They have redone like huge portions of that. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if you've been there in a while.
I was there two years ago.
Did you see the new Native American exhibit that they have?
That was not there when I was.
Okay,
there.
So yeah, it's new. They've just put it in. It's gigantic.
Okay.
We were halfway through it, and my daughter was like, "I gotta pee," and there's me in a wheelchair, and I'm like. We're halfway through this. There's no easy way to get out of this.
Yes.
So we had to, like, run through the rest of it so she could go outside to go pee. It was a pain in the ass. But
did you hear the wolf cry to the Blue Corn Moon?
I did.
Did you ask the grinning bobcat why he grins?
Yes. I sang with all the voices of the mountains.
And did you see when Pocahontas got turned into that raccoon?
Well, we wanted to go there because they're
Trash Panda.
They're doing the Jurassic World exhibit. It starts, I think... next week or the week after. Yeah, they're doing the whole Jurassic World thing, and it's gonna be
Mr. DNA.
we walked by the DNA center, like where they do the they show you where they, you know, clean
Dino
the
DNA.
And my wife literally goes, I go, "Hey Diana," and she goes, "Dino DNA, I know."
Yes.
That's what happens when you've been married for 10 years.
And Dino nut.
They had a... So they're doing that. I was like, well, let's go this week because more than likely it's not going to be as busy because there's going to be a big push next week for people coming in. And we could go see all the other stuff. So then when we come for the Jurassic World thing, we don't have to spend, you know, we don't have to feel like we're rushing into seeing other stuff just to make it worth our trip.
Yeah, I want to go see the Jurassic World.
Yeah. Well, Brookfield Zoo is also doing like a big dinosaur thing too.
Next weekend though, I got fighting game tournament.
Oh, what are you gonna? What do you Blaze Blue or
Blaze Blue Street Fighter V, King of Fighters, and the Mystery Tournament?
Mystery Tournament.
The Mystery Tournament is what I'm looking forward to the most because I played in one at Frosty Faustings. It is awesome. I thought it was just gonna be fighting games when I first did it, but it's not. It's just any one versus one competitive game. So
Pong.
That could be there because the games I saw being played were like there was Mario Kart Double Dash was around. Avatar The Last Airbender for PlayStation 2 apparently had a versus mode. So that was one of the fights. There's like ROM hack, like shitty, like some dude made some game in his basement and like put it on the computer. So Brief Karate Foolish, that was one of them. Yeah, it's fucking hilarious. And like that was good times. So I'm really looking forward to doing that again, because just anything that's a competitive 1v1. So they had Virtual On, which was a mech fighting arcade game, like fucking sweet. So I'm looking forward to seeing what they have this time. And they changed the game. Like, that's the other thing too. Not everyone plays the same game each round, and they change the games every round. So my round one, I played Nidhogg.
I don't know what that is.
Nidhogg is a game where it's a fencing game where you run at each other, and you stab the dude, keeps dying, and the whole goal is to get to the end of the stage. You're trying to run all the way to the right or all the way to the left.
Ah.
And the opponent is in front of you. That's the whole goal. It's very simple, very easy to play. But there was Mario Kart Double Dash on round one, which wasn't one of the games I was playing. So I'm looking forward to that again. I will get destroyed in all the fighting game tournaments, but the mystery tournament, I will maybe have a shot.
Sounds interesting.
Yeah, it should be fun.
With the video games?
Yeah, yeah.
You're playing the video games?
Yeah, yeah.
I just played... I was playing X-Wing versus TIE Fighter on my computer.
Oh, nice.
Because they had like the
classic.
The May the 4th sale. So I got it for like a buck, and I was like, sweet. And I was like, oh, this game's not really that great.
It's old.
It's real old. I played,
a lot of those games don't, most of the old games that hold up are all those isometric RPGs. Those are still good. Like yeah. Baldur's Gate, Baldur's Gate 2. Like those games are still solid. Their visuals aren't that great, but like the game is still good.
I played Star Wars Starfighter. That game,
I don't even know what that is.
It came out after episode one, so you're like, it's very prequel-y. It is awful. I mean, some of the dog fighting scenes are, and some of like the actual space combat is good, but it has the worst controls I've ever played on a video game. The worst. And as Pat B will tell you, I would say that the flying controls are worse than the flying controls in Battlefield 1, which were probably the worst.
The champion of the time.
Well, no, I'm saying they're the champion now.
Yeah, no, they were the prior champion. They've been dethroned.
Yeah, I mean, well, going back and looking at it, they've been dethroned. I also got Rebel Assault. You remember Rebel Assault?
That was the RTS, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That, no.
No, there was an RTS for sure.
Yes. Maybe I think it was just called Empire or
Galactic Conquest or something.
Something like that. Yeah. No, this one was like a... it was like a full motion video game. So like they were actually filmed like stormtroopers. Like,
oh, nice.
Like coming out and shooting at you. And then your guy was at the bottom of the screen and you'd have to like, you know, move the joystick to wherever they were shooting.
That's awesome.
Oh my God. It was an amazing game at the time. I remember I actually had to put, it was like right before Dark Forces came out. I had to put extra memory in my computer just so I could run it. You know, back in the day when you'd be like, wait for Best Buy to put like the 8 gigs of memory on sale so you could go, and I had to like buy $40 memory sticks of like 2 megabytes of RAM so I could stick it in there. Ugh. All right, gaming stuff. What other gaming stuff we got? Kickstarter from our friend, Raza.
Oh, the going native.
Yeah, Warpath going native.
Yeah, I shared that on the Facebook page.
Okay, I wanted to make sure that the listeners got to listen to that one, take a look at it. I guess he's doing some like Australian stuff on it.
That's pretty cool. Aboriginals.
Aboriginals.
How many Aboriginals do you see modeling?
aside from that, what other gaming stuff out there? I don't know. I haven't really been looking. I went back to work this week, so I haven't been able to sit at my computer all day and do absolutely nothing.
There's not a lot.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't think that there's like a shit ton of crazy stuff coming out. So
there's not.
No, I'm actually looking at like tabletop gaming news. You want to just do a tabletop gaming news run through?
Sure.
Okay.
You tell me and I'll give my reactions.
All right. I got to find something that's actually interesting because all of this stuff looks friggin' terrible. Okay. God almighty.
Great,
there's like nothing. The Song of Ice and Fire stuff. We haven't talked about that.
Right.
Yeah, they did a preview of the
War of the Ring, right?
It looks like it. I don't know how the gameplay is going to be, but it's on movement trays with circle bases.
Well, if it's War of the Ring,
you love your War of the Ring,
then it'll be good.
You won't play it though.
The Game of Thrones one? Nah.
Nah. I didn't think so.
Getting into a new minis game at this point, like, it's not happening.
Well, I didn't think it was.
I'll do Age of Sigmar. I'll do Arena Rex. And then maybe I'll do 40K. Maybe.
Well, yeah. I was looking at 40K because I was like, I want to play the new 40K when it comes out. I haven't played 40K, you know, since like 2005. I want to play the new 40K.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I want to play Space Marines, because if I'm going to play a 40K army, I'm going to play Space Marines. I'm not going to play Tau, because I'm not an idiot, and I'm not going to play Eldar.
Idiot nothing. Tau are one of the best armies in the game right now.
I don't want to play Tau. I don't want to play Eldar. I don't want to play Skitarii.
Tau are arguably the best army in the game right now.
I don't want to play Imperial Guard, because those models suck. I want to play Space Marines, because that's, you know.
You don't want to play buff as shit Cadians?
No. I want to play buff as shit Catachans. Play those guys. Hey, yo, we've got giant muscles.
Get yourself some Slimarbo.
Slimarbo. Some Slambo. Slimarbo.
Slarmbo?
Slimbo. That sounds like a character from Futurama.
It does. Slurms McKenzie.
But I want to play it, and I'm like, I'm going through all the Space Marine chapters, and I'm like, I don't want to play any of these. These are all terrible. And then so
well,
Tim,
it sounds like you need to make your own.
That's what Tim said. He goes, you should play like the Howling Griffins. I'm like, no, I'm not going to play a stupid Space Marine chapter that they created because they had extra transfer slides from the Empire Shield sprues. We're not doing that.
But why not?
No. I was like, I might actually have to play Ultramarines.
Well, Ultramarines do look pretty sweet. And those giant big ass Ultramarines look sweet as well. I don't know what the hell they're called. They're just giant-ass, big-ass Ultramarines.
No, we couldn't use Centurions. We have to use something new.
Primargunus?
Yeah. Primarlagunus?
Primarlagunus. Reboot Ghouli Man.
Reboot Ghouli. No, the Song of Ice and Fire game, I thought it was just going to be like a warband-type skirmish game.
Looks like it's going to be an army game.
It's an army game, for sure. It's movement trays, circle bases, very War of the Ring. It's gonna, like, the movement trays are going to make War of the Ring people happy. Depending on the size.
Oh, yeah, as long as they're the right size.
Because is it Cool Mini who's doing it?
It is Cool Mini, as far as I know, is who is doing that.
Or is it Fantasy Flight?
I believe it is Cool Mini.
It's Cool Mini, okay. So Cool Mini is doing it. No, I thought it was Fantasy Flight. I thought Fantasy Flight had the license.
I don't think so.
We gotta check this. We gotta check it.
Roy, check it.
I'll edit, fortunately, most of this.
Da-da-da.
It is Cool Mini, okay.
All right, very good.
So Cool Mini's doing it, and they might do like their own funky base size.
It's true. They could. They probably won't, though.
It's our base size is 36mm.
Cool Mini's usually in the 30mm as standard base guys.
Yeah.
So they won't be 25mm, so it would be useless for Lord of the Rings.
Yeah. And they're 4x3 bases, so it's like not quite as useful. But the figures look great. I'm not going to argue that. I'm very impressed by the figures, especially for being plastics.
Well, Cool Mini has good sculptors.
And they have the 2x2 cavalry bases.
That's sweet.
Yeah. So instead of the 1x2s, they have the 2x2s. It looks like it's more card based. I think I might pick it up just because I love Game of Thrones so much.
Mm-hmm.
Just to give it a try, see how that goes, and if I don't like it, I'll sell it.
Yeah, seems like a decent idea.
Well, I want to know how much of it's going to be play out of the box, and how much of it is going to be like, you can't play this without buying the expansions.
We have to wait and see.
Yeah, because one of the things I liked about the War of the Ring Battle Lore game was that it was playable outside the box. You didn't have to buy any of the expansions to play the game.
Yep.
And I thought it was a great game. I'm very sad that it didn't take off as much as it should have.
It's hard doing minis games. Even Rune Wars is struggling, and Rune Wars, I'd say, has the most, other than being a workshop game, has the most like oomph behind a launch I've ever seen.
Yeah, they're really pushing that one and struggling. You say?
Well, initial stuff sold out, but like. The follow-up waves really haven't been there, so I don't know. I haven't seen anyone playing it.
I keep seeing them like previewing new stuff coming out.
Oh yeah, I mean it's Fantasy Flight. They commit to that's the one thing that is nice about Fantasy Flight is like when they release something, they commit to supporting it for a good long time.
Yeah,
like even they'll even keep supporting it kind of after they shouldn't. Like they had Call of Cthulhu going for a long time, the LCG going for a long time, like much longer than they probably should have.
Well, I'll be interested in picking that up when it's on discount that no one else is buying. No, actually, I like the minis quite a bit. I think they're very nice. They're a little squishy for me. Like, they seem like a little bit smaller than they should, but I think that they're like stockier. Like, they almost kind of all look like dwarves. But I think that they're pretty nice sculpts on that end. And I've seen some people do some really nice painting stuff with it already. So it'll be interesting to see when it comes out. Aside from that, though, I'm interested in the Lord of the Song of Ice and Fire stuff. Mm-hmm. Are they doing a Kickstarter for it, or is it just getting released?
I don't know. It's a cool mini game, so that's like up in the air.
I'm kind of hoping they do a Kickstarter for it.
You want to get in?
Because if they do a Kickstarter for it, you're going to get a shit ton of stuff for it for next to nothing because it's cool mini.
It's true.
That's how they always do it. Actually, I'm gonna be pledging on the new orc. Zombicide.
Orc? Oh, okay, cool.
That starts, I think, next week.
The zombie orcs? The zorks?
The zorks. Yeah, I'm gonna get that one just because I like the figures. And I think that they'll work well. All right, so that's about it. Go to planetarbitrary.com for your Planet Arbitrary needs. You can follow me on Twitter at Planet Arbitrary. You can follow Steve at
I'm Command Throw.
Like our Facebook page, /GameClassyPodcast. The best way you can help out the podcast is like, comment, and subscribe on iTunes. You can also like, comment, and subscribe on the YouTube page. You can listen to our sister podcast. Comic Book Logic is back. We did it. Yeah, we did Guardians of the Galaxy 2. And then we did... we're going to be doing Wonder Woman. I don't know. I think there's going to be one in between Wonder Woman.
Wonder Woman!
Kevin wanted to do the Wonder Woman made-for-TV movie from, like, the 70s.
That's a thing?
Yeah.
Does it have Linda Carter?
Yeah. Hmm. It was the pilot.
Oh, okay.
So I was like, I'm just going to talk about Linda Carter's boobs the entire time.
Wonder Woman!
But yeah, who knows what we're gonna do. And you could also listen to Play On Podcast, where you talk about the video games and the fighting stuffs and the doing stuffs. And there's also going to be another episode of Weeb Town coming.
It's true.
Sooner. We can talk about Asen.
We're gonna record I want to record another one so we can do a back-to-back uploads.
Did you do did Giuseppe go to Asen?
Yes. Yes, of course he did.
Young Giuseppe went to ASEN.
Yeah.
But you didn't.
I did not.
No.
I don't need to go to an anime convention.
I remember working at the bunker, and then the guys from ASEN would come in and talking about how great ASEN was.
I don't do conventions. There's no, like, if I'm going to go, if you catch me at a convention, I am there for something very specific. Like, there's a reason I'm there for whatever that is. But as far as the, like, oh, the convention is coming around again this year, that's not what I do. Like, I don't do that. Yeah, usually for my wife, that's usually why I'm there.
Well,
and even then, we're there because we're getting someone's autograph.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, you and Cole want someone's autograph or something like that.
Exactly.
Hey, Cole.
Oh, my personalized John Rhys Davies autograph was found.
Oh, yeah?
So
where was...
In the garage.
Oh, okay.
My dad's cleaning out the garage.
Oh,
so that's going to be in my hands again. It's awesome. It's he wrote me a letter.
Yeah,
it's a letter to me.
Dear Steve, you're digging in the wrong spot.
I don't remember what it says, but the letter is pretty long.
Steve, have you ever been to Machu Picchu?
At the end of the letter,
joined me in my hydrofoil.
I remember how he signed off the letter, and he says, "Wishing you all the best." From Indy's friend and your father's friend, John Rhys Davies.
That's very cool.
Yeah, I was like, this is fucking sweet.
Yeah, Cole, what do you think about the new Hellboy casting?
I am not looking at it.
No, you don't like it.
I'm gonna watch it.
Going in blind.
Oh, you're going in blind. Okay.
And I don't want other people's opinions to sway me in any way because I don't give a shit.
Okay. All right, then if you didn't hear that, Cole says she doesn't want anybody else's opinion. She's not watching any of the Hellboy casting.
Yeah, I'm just going to go watch it too.
I think it's really good.
I'm really annoyed that they're not letting Guillermo finish.
I think it's great.
I don't know who I don't know who the dude is. Like,
you watch Stranger Things.
He was like a bit character in there.
No,
but
he was a main character.
Isn't he the guy who died in the diner?
No, he's the sheriff.
Oh, okay. But whatever. Like, I'm more annoyed that Guillermo wasn't going to get to finish, but I'm still going to watch it.
Yeah. My big problem
but
was...
But reboots have been shitting the bed lately.
Yeah, it's true. My big problem was like going on... The second one was a great movie, but it wasn't really a Hellboy movie. But
anyway, still great, though.
It was yeah, it was great, but it wasn't a Hellboy movie. Anyway, as I'm saying, I'm kind of whispering it because I don't want Gold to be freaking out.
Fighting?
All right, so Steve, until next time.
My fish are apparently fighting.
Ooh, fighting fish.
Game classy.